I'm losing track of the knobs here. Sorry. Because I gotta. Travis echoes if I'm not like over here paying attention to him talking, so I gotta turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Which matches up in front of you?
No, I expect you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling?
Yeah.
Mr. Samoa Joe?
Hi, hello again, and did you miss me, baby? Because we're home again. Yes, happy, happy, happy Thursday to all those who celebrate. And that means it's time for another wild off-the-wall edition, you know, kick cam ragtag kick ass to the turnbuckle, presented by Snapman and Brugination Productions and our good friends, Dubby!
Dubby! All like our Dubby.
Dubby!
Nice, clean, crisp energy. No maltodextrins.
None of that. If you can't pronounce it, you don't need it, folks. That's just the reality.
I mean, that's fair, even though I can pronounce it, but I may be one of the few because I actually tried to learn how to do it.
That's just what.
I'm just saying, in general, who would learn how to say that unless they have to? But like,
forgive Marine McCarthy over here, one of the few in the crowd that can pronounce all that. But welcome in to another edition of To the Turnbuckle. I believe this is episode 163.
Yeah, episode, I do believe so.
Episode 163, titled Blood, Rain, and a Lot of Pain. So, but before we get into Monday Night Raw, let me ask you, Mr. McCarthy, producer extraordinaire, and... Well, CM Punk doppelganger, how the hell are you?
I'm doing all right, man. The sun's out. I mean, it was cold as fuck this morning.
Yep.
I'm getting sick of this shit.
Yep.
Stupid Ohio. Uh-huh. It's ridiculous. It's almost April. It should not be 26 degrees when I take my dogs out in the morning before I go to work. Well, it's just not cool.
It's going to be chilly when you drive me back to the Loganity Lounge.
That's fine. It is what it is. Yeah. But, like, that first thing in the morning, that shit sucks. You can bundle up all you want, and you're still like, man, this is stupid. So I'm yearning for the days where I can throw on a shirt and my work pants and just go outside. That's going to be great, even though I love me some hoodies. But other than that, I'm all right, man. I'm excited.
All right.
Dynamite was legit. No, we...
Well... let's do it. Let's talk about it.
Cool.
So everybody's talking about Monday Night Raw. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody. People have said this is the greatest Monday Night Raw in a decade, some have said.
It was really good.
Let's talk about the big angle everybody's talking about. The final boss, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He attacked Cody Rhodes viciously in a backstage brawl. And some have said this is the greatest ending in Raw they've seen in quite some time. I mean... eons. People have talked about how incredible this is. Incredible was a word one of my buddies used. Tyler, if you're listening, how are you? We don't give a piss about nothing but the Tide. Incredible ending.
The Tide? An Alabama fan?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, okay. Making sure that I got the reference.
Because, you know, there's that guy, Roll Tide Willie, that goes, "We don't give a piss about nothing but the Tide."
Oh.
It's a thing.
Kind of how we go with, not you, but Ohio State fans. We don't give a damn about the whole state of Michigan.
I
don't subscribe to that. I've had a couple of all right trips to Michigan. Yeah. So, I mean, sorry, Buckeye fans. Cry me a river.
That's a great Justin Timberlake tune. It sure is.
I love Drew McIntyre so much.
All right. So let's talk about this iconic ending, everybody calls it. I want to first state some positives. I liked what they were going for. I really thought I liked what they were going for. I understand they were trying to give it a little Attitude Era-ish vibe. And, you know, you happen to have the rain out in Chicago that evening on Monday. And, you know, The Rock doing his thing like it's 1997, trash talking while he's beating Cody down. And that is wonderful, and that's entertaining, and of course we got some blood and the whole nine, and he's got a belt for Mama Rhodes. The only thing he's got to do is now present it to her, because he said he would.
That's true.
Other than that, he's kept his word. All right, so I want to state that clearly. I liked what they were going for. So when everyone goes, "Well, you just hate The Rock." Well, that might be true, but I'm being fair here. Let me state
one.
We'll find out.
Okay.
We take the roads together, the Brim Roads path. All right. So let me state what I did not like and why I'm like, I think this ending is getting a little bit too hyped, a little bit too wet dreamish for my taste. Okay? Cody Rhodes got beat down something awful. He got beat down like he stole something. He got the brake speed off of him.
He did. He truly did. Whooped that ass.
He got bruised, screwed, and tattooed. I mean, that's the way it was. So whatever you want to say, that's what happened. Fair? Fair. Here's what I don't like about it. And I know this is nitpicking, but this is why we have a podcast. So I can nitpick all I want, like the mother-in-law of the world, all right? Nothing's colder than a mother-in-law's kiss. She nitpicks like hell. So, let me be clear on what I didn't like about it. The Rock is 52 years old. The Rock has not had a legitimate match in over a decade. His last match at all, if you want to call it such, was the, 10-second thing with Eric Rowan at WrestleMania 32.
Oh, that was a thing.
His last legitimate match was WrestleMania 29 against John Cena. You know, genuinely went in there for 40 minutes and tried to tear it down. I respect that. Not one mother-loving time does somebody, you know, we don't have a fail attack, a fail save. We don't have Cody. I mean, put your dukes up, Co. I mean, he's just getting dusted, dog-walked. The entire time, frankly, taking unprotected shots to the head, if you want to be honest about it, with the trash can.
Cody, are you surprised?
Not surprised. Not surprised.
We've seen him take work.
But I've had some friends go, AEW still allows unprotected chair shots. I don't care about safety.
Yeah, because those trash cans don't feel great either. Yeah. But, I mean, it's Cody. He's just going to take the yell at me part.
I feel like Cody as the big, this is the same guy. And again, I know I'm nitpicking. I want to be clear about that. I understand because
you're overthinking it.
Well, the suspension of disbelief is supposed to be part of this business. And when you insult me, nah, as LA Knight would say. Understand this. This is the same guy who tore a pec. He tore a man tit. And he beat Seth Rollins, your other world champion. Inside Hell in a Cell, do you recall?
I remember.
He tore a man titty. Looked great doing it. And he competed in a full-scale match and beat what is arguably the top star of the Monday Night Raw brand, because technically Cody Rhodes is on SmackDown. But the brand we got more mixture than a classic PB&J.
It's only important when they make it important, just like AEW with the rankings, all of a sudden they matter. So it's fine. We just have to accept it for what it is. Yeah, I wish it was easier than that, and you would think it would be, but, you know.
I guess,
take that with the grain of salt when you watch it, and when those things become important. I'm not saying don't bitch and complain or whatever, but, like, you know, oh, well, all right, it matters now. Just kind of accept it and don't let it affect your enjoyment of the rest of the product, kind of a thing. But, because I don't disagree. I think they should always be important, not just when it's convenient for storytelling.
I hear you. I do. I hear you. And see, here's my thing. Here's old Logan's thing about this. So since he goes through all that, he beats Seth Rollins. He has a torn pec. He goes through that incredible story. To me, it is not believable that, again, this is not 1997, and I know that's funny coming from me. The Rock beats him down, talks trash the whole time. We take 10 minutes in between spots sometimes. The blade thing was so obvious, it's like, well, where did he go? Did he run off and hide? Did he, you know, as we're looking at the camera? And I get it. I'm nitpicking. I know. But not one damn time does he get the advantage. Not one damn time does this biggest babyface in our company get upset.
That wasn't the purpose, though. He hasn't gotten a beat down yet. Like, I remember on many occasions purpose. That Stone Cold Steve Austin got beat the fuck down and didn't get a chance to fight back, because it's not like he was already fighting Jimmy Uso. The Rock came from behind him. Yeah, he might not have had a match for a while, but he still made a stone. That shit's gonna hurt. Maybe, you know, he took one to the temple and he's knocked loopy, and then he keeps attacking the head and attacking the head. I mean, yeah, I understand you're nitpicking, and that's what we should be doing. But on the other side of the coin, to nitpick your nitpick, it's believable in a sense because he's so big. He could hit you one time and knock you loopy for 20 minutes. He could. He's the size of that. And we saw what he did to Mick Foley in 1999, and he's twice the size he was then as he is now. I think you could cut that segment. You don't have to, but I'm saying if you're going to nitpick that little part, because yes, the segment was fantastic. So now we're just grasping at straws and saying what we could have enjoyed better. And I want to just kind of keep that going, like, because I loved it. I loved every bit about it. I love them making me think that just for a second, because I knew they weren't gonna, but when they walked over, when he was beating his ass and there's that big drop, I was like, oh my God, please don't. Because I didn't know when they're approaching it, that's when my brain's like, oh, is he going to throw him off of this? Yeah. And then they get closer and you see how big that drop is. And I'm like, no, they're not going to do that. they're not doing that.
It could, but.
But, like, so I thoroughly enjoyed it. But I can see your point. But to counter your point,
it's not-
he's so big that. Yeah, maybe Cody could have fought back a little bit, but I've seen Stone Cold Steve Austin take one of these more than once.
It's not that he couldn't do these things. It's that I just think the Cody, I think the believability is if you're getting your ass kicked as a guy or a gal, and you're not throwing up the occasional something to try, I have a hard time suspending my disbelief on that. And this went on for every bit of 10 minutes. I think it was like 10:51 when The Rock, you know, made his presence felt at that end segment. And so I just thought, I think your point is correct, but I think what undercuts your point is that it went on so long, like I said, with nothing from him in return. Just a bunch of moans and groans. I didn't know if I was watching Raw or Raw. And so, for me, again, I you're making a good point. I just think that's more believable if it happens in less time. But instead, it was 10 minutes of smack talk. And I'm not saying it's not entertaining. I'm just going, he's not going to try one time to get the advantage and get it for half a second, and then The Rock can kick him in the balls one good time. I'm talking about just 1 second that makes you still believe that this is a legitimate fight. Obviously, it's not, but again, it's that suspension of disbelief line. I just think if you get your ass kicked in a fight for 10 minutes and you don't throw up a punch, somebody stop the count, boys. I mean, that's be a man and let's duke it up here. You might, you know, scratch, claw, whatever. Like, your mom's getting talked about here. Like, just is it, like, unless your ears are knocked silly. Yeah, again, I understand it's nitpicking. I understand that, like, we have to understand that this is, you know, this is wrestling. I get it. I know. I just feel like even if he just has a quick shove off, couple of punches, and again, Rock, you know, plays a little game called hide the wingtip in the ball sack, I can live with that better. Or again, maybe a baby face that is like, man, The Rock's power really gone to his head, and, you know, does a little fail save, and you just kind of go away, whatever. Just something.
I wouldn't have wanted to see a fail save.
Just something to me. I just think it went on a little too long to be anywhere close to believable. That's my estimation, my opinion. It's not that it was a bad segment. It wasn't. I enjoyed the shot at CM Punk as he was heading out the door.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
I look forward to them someday duking it out on the microphone one more time.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Other than that, you know, I don't think this is the all-time classic segment ending that people think it is. People go, oh my God, absolute cinema. Well, this isn't cinema. This is wrestling.
Well, I think that it is in a long time. I mean, I don't think you can say ever. That's almost impossible to say because it's subjective. In a long time, it was
Big Cody
one
Dean.
Of
Arson, how are you, brother?
The
opening day.
best endings to a Raw in a while, in years. And yeah, it's not cinema, but a lot of the stuff they use in storylines is based on cinema. It was captivating television. You were kind of wondering where he was going. And the rain that you cannot control only enhanced it. I don't know if I would have liked it as much if it wasn't raining. It gave it this, like, gritty, you know, movie feel. It really did. Yeah, it's not a movie. It's pro wrestling. It's somewhere in the middle of everything, like theater, cinema. You know, I can go on and on. But when I was like, oh, it's raining, oh, that's cool. And you can't really plan for that. Like, you could hope it could rain, but not, I mean, Philly, you're probably 80% chance because we're not that far and our weather's terrible. But the rain enhanced that entire segment. And I can't say, I know I still would have enjoyed it, but I think for me, the rain made it so much better. It was so cool. Cody get rolling around on the concrete, suit get ruined by the rain and the dirt. Thought it was a good piece of Attitude Era booking, honestly. Because, I mean, that's...
I agree.
It was very Attitude Era-ish with how long it took with, like you already said, The Rock talking shit the whole time he's whooping his ass. Like, that's The Rock I've been waiting to see. Sure, it's the same kind of stick, but it's not Rock in the middle of the ring cutting a promo stick. It's The Rock hitting Mick Foley 10 times with his chair when his hands were behind his back and handcuffs Rock. That's what I want to see. And that's what I saw on Monday. So that's also why I forgive the 10 minutes, because that's the Rock that I liked. Sure, funny Rock is fun for a while, but man, that 1999 Rock, man, he was nasty. Like, that's a run Wardlow needs. That's what Wardlow needs to do. Not to bring up AEW during the Raw thing, but he just needs to be mean and nasty and beat the shit out of people. And that's what I felt from the Rock. So, not that I don't like him being around, and I think he's enhanced the product, but that's the Rock I want to see main event night one at WrestleMania. I don't want to see jokey Rock. I don't want to see one-liner Rock. I want to see grab the camera and whoop your ass and take a stunner Rock. The first man that I remember really taking water, putting it in his mouth, and spitting at a dude's face on the outside. Like, the little things that he did in 1999 that everyone has done now is wild. Because I could be wrong, because I'm not a wrestling historian, but The Rock was the first dude to grab the Roman camera and start doing shit. And then he took a stunner for it. So, like, I'm real excited for what we're getting. So I hope this continues, this attitude of The Rock. I don't want to see Rock concerts from The Rock. No. I want to see what you should have been in Black Adam. I want to see that guy. I want to see the mean, nasty, just, I don't care about anyone but me, and I will concuss you without a thought. That's the Rock I want, and that's what I saw on Monday.
Interesting. I think you make some good points. What did you think, Buckle Brigade, of the ending of Monday Night Raw? What did you think? Let us know in the comments below. We'll try to get to all the... matter of fact, I know we'll get to all of them. We will, just because, I mean, that's what we like. We'd like to do it. What did you think? Did you think The Rock and Cody went on a little too long? Did you think it was perfect? Did you think it was cinema? Was it an all-timer? Is this the best Raw you've seen in ages? You know, let us know all those things. All right, now we're going to move on down the line a little bit, unless you got any final thoughts on the Cody Rock deal.
Well, I think that was it.
All right. We're gonna move on down the line of hair. CM Punk returned to engage in a war words with Seth Freakin' Rollins and declare his intention to be on commentary for the World Heavyweight title match at WrestleMania. So, couple of things here before we delve in and break it down D-Generation X style. We now know CM Punk's role at WrestleMania. He's going to be a guest commentator for the World Heavyweight Championship match between Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. not what I would have really liked. You know, maybe a more special enforcer type role would have been more up my alley. You know, I think it'd be good him being on commentary because he's great on commentary, truly. But I think a more prominent role for everyone to see that paid their hard-earned money at WrestleMania would have been a little, would be a little bit more up my alley. You know, a little more prominent.
Fair. That's fair.
Again, I'm not putting down, like, he'll do great on commentary. I'm sure it'll be fun. I'm sure, you know, he even did some commentary for AEW during some weeks. Like, it's not like he's that rusty at it. And even if he is, I'm sure they'll do some test sessions between now and Mania. But yeah, you talk about the Rock that you want to see. This is the CM Punk that I want to see right here. This segment, there was so much to unpack, but this was CM Punk, I thought, at his very best, riding that lightning bolt between babyface and almost heel, you know, at certain points because he's saying certain unpopular things and having fun with the segment, something that I don't know that he's done a whole lot since his return to wrestling. Certainly not to the prevalent degree he once did. He had some fun his first year in AEW. But, I mean, he was really enjoying being out there in front of the Chicago crowd and being back in a ring. You could tell that going down to the mat and counting and proving that his left arm could do it if that was the option they were going with, I thought it was great. Of course, he had several burns on the microphone that was vintage CM Punk. Probably the most prevalent one, obviously, that's getting a little hubbub, a little pub, a little whoa, oh my goodness, he really did that, was when Drew McIntyre referred to himself as the Chosen One, and CM Punk, without missing a beat, goes, "Who chose you? Who? Say the name. Say his name. You don't have the balls, do you?" Dave Meltzer had a report today on that, that obviously wasn't planned, and it created a hush backstage, because any mention or reference of events right now on television is no-go, but obviously CM Punk couldn't give a damn, because that's who he is. I thought that was wonderful. Again, I liked the shot at The Rock, going, calling back to the great promo of "Your arms are too short to just box with God." This is the CM Punk I want to see, whether that's a heel or a face. I want him to essentially be the voice of the voiceless, say the things that we all know can be said and acknowledged, but nobody but him seems to have the guts to acknowledge and say. That's what we want, at least for me. I don't want PG Punk, as MJF so eloquently put it one evening. I want Punk to take a flamethrower to the system, because that's when CM Punk is at his best. I want him to, you know, if there's a mark of some sort, I want him to extend that. But speaking of marks, he's a mark and damn proud of it. Travis Snapper.
Let's take a quick break, make sure we got his audio, right, and we'll be right back.
So let's take a quick break. We'll make sure everything's set, and then when we come back, we're going to get Napper's thoughts on The Rock, the segment, CM Punk, the whole nine. He's going to have the floor. Don't move a move. We're going to have a whole lot of fun in just a minute. We'll be right back.
Hi. Hello, hey, buddy. Sir. How's it going? I got you. I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Well, yep. Okay, cool. Well, let's roll. All right. Turn the master back on. And let's just roll. I'll fix it in post. Oops, wrong buttons. Okay, let's go.
All right, we're live?
Yeah.
All right, welcome back, folks, to another edition of To the Turnbuckle. And Travis Snapper has joined in from his humble abode, the Hot Wheels Hotel, if you will. And Mr. Snapper, first of all, how the hell are you?
Oh, fantabulous. As always.
Fantabulous.
That's what we like to hear. You look like it, buddy.
Yeah.
Look like you're taking WrestleFit seriously.
Oh, I'm trying.
little.
I gotta keep going. Gotta keep moving. Got a big wheelchair basketball tournament. Middle of next month. So.
The middle. How middle?
13th.
It was
okay.
It was going to be show day.
It was going to be show day, but we got lucky.
Yes. Oh. Yes, I got lucky.
I got lucky that you don't get to take my spot.
I mean, like, I'm going to sit at that desk. I have too much shit to do. I'm grabbing somebody to sit at that desk.
I'll tell you who really got lucky. I got lucky because I don't have chemistry with anybody else.
I mean, that's fair. We'd probably pull it off, but you know me.
But you wouldn't sit down.
Do I ever sit down during a broadcast? Remember when I was real proud of me for sitting for like a match? Remember that time?
I'm tired of you showing off about your standing ability.
I'd say put Random Pain on the broadcast, but then it would just be all this.
Ah.
Yeah, it'd be like Pat McAfee and Michael Cole gushing over each other the whole damn time. Yeah. Well, should we get his opinion on the end of Monday Night Raw? Why don't you, Phil, try... You weren't listening to this show, I'm assuming, before we brought you in, right?
I just caught the last, like, 5 minutes of what he just said.
All right, so, yeah, let him... Give him your nitpicky about The Rock and Cody Rhodes, and we'll see his response. And then we'll move continually through Raw, probably, maybe.
Glad to do it. All right, Mr. Napper, here's my nitpick. I agree it was a fun segment. I liked what they were going for. But here's my nitpicks, because that's what Mr. McCarthy asked me to tell you. My nitpicks are, I thought this segment went a little too long with no pushback from Cody Rhodes or a fail-save at all. Like, I thought the 52-year-old guy that hasn't had a legitimate match since WrestleMania 29, hasn't had a match at all since WrestleMania 32, beats up your biggest babyface who wrestled with a torn man tit and beats Seth Rollins, but Cody doesn't try to put up the dukes at all during that entire 10-minute beatdown trash talk session. I just didn't think, even if it's just a quick advantage and then The Rock hits him with a low blow or a babyface comes out of nowhere with a fail save and then Rock gets back to it. I just thought, because if you get your ass kicked in a real fight for 10 minutes, you're going to at least try to put some swings. I just don't think there was enough pushback from Cody for me to believe it for as long as it went. I thought if you're going to do it that route, you got to do it quicker. Those are my nitpicks. What say you?
Mine are pretty much the same. I didn't like how long it was, like you said, with no pushback. I do want to rescind something that I had said off air to in our group chat, where I was surprised that I didn't see Cody or I didn't see Jay or Seth intervene. I went back and watched it, and I understand why Seth. It wouldn't have made sense for Seth to really get involved, even though I feel like we've seen that before, where even somebody eats a finisher and still 5 minutes later maybe makes a save. We've seen that before, I'm pretty sure. But I understood why Seth didn't make the save. He got hit with the Future Shock DDT by Drew. It made a lot of sense. What didn't make sense for me was Jay. And what kind of disappoints me with the Jay thing is you had an opportunity to make a magical moment with that, because we've kind of seen Rock and some of the Bloodline interact. It's kind of just been like, Jay or Jimmy and Solo are, don't know what to make of it. They're kind of scared of them. They're kind of not. They're in the background, just kind of minding their own business. You could have had a really great moment of Jay and Rock coming face to face, and I really think they missed on it. And even if Jay doesn't make the save, you know, like you talked about, we missed out on a failed save, because if you have somebody save Cody Rhodes or at least attempt to make the save, that makes sense for the length of the time that they did this. It makes Cody look a little bit stronger because he's got friends that'll come to his aid. He kind of already had that earlier on, but because they didn't have it when he needed it most, now it looks kind of silly. But just think about Jay seeing The Rock beat up on Cody, comes to save him. Rock gets right in his face and questions, what are you going to do? Because we've seen Rock, we've seen Jay, we've seen Roman. They're not on terms family-wise. You know, they're not all clicking together. But we don't know Jay's stance on The Rock. We don't know Jimmy's stance on The Rock. We don't know Solo's stance on The Rock. He's family. But are they willing to follow Roman or are they going to follow Rock? And I think you could have had a really cool internal battle inside Jay because he doesn't have problems with The Rock. But Cody's his friend. So what do you do? And if they had thrown that element into it, I think it would have been even more magical. Like you said, I like what they were going for. I didn't mind the ending. I thought the ending kind of paid it off at least enough to where I was like, okay, I personally didn't care for the whole thing, but I liked that. I liked the ending. I love the outside part because God was playing favorites to wrestling with the rain. I don't know what it was about the rain, but the rain made it magical. And I had to agree with everybody on that part. It just made it a cinematic masterpiece with the rain. So that was a nice touch from God. But as far as the length, I just that was the only thing that really didn't do it for me.
So, I mean, that tells me that probably I enjoyed it more because of the rain, like I was talking about, and because I got 1999 Rock again. Like, it doesn't make me change my opinion and to counter your nitpickings. But, no, I don't think so. But I think that tells me that if you could take the rain out of that, maybe it wouldn't have been as cool. If you take the Rock talking shit while he's whooping Cody's ass, and I'm a Cody mark, take that out of that, maybe I don't enjoy it as much. So I'm glad that, like, you guys brought your opinions and I can go, all right. So, yeah, because I did ask that before we brought Traps in. I was like, is it because of the rain and because of the version of The Rock that we got? Because that's The Rock I wanted since he came back? Probably.
I mean, the part where it looked like he was going to chuck him off of that bridge was pretty cool, too.
Right? I had the same thought in my brain for like 10 seconds until I saw how big the drop was. It's like, yeah, they're not going to do that.
I mean, we've kind of semi-done it before.
Yeah, but that was into water.
Fair.
I've seen him throw. I saw The Rock throw Stone Cold Steve Austin off a bridge once.
All right. Ryan Hill. How are you, Ryan?
Hi, Ryan.
Ryan, what'd you think of the ending of Monday Night Raw? And my favorite bridge tease of all time is Kurt Angle, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That was great. I almost forgot about that.
Stone Cold about ready to piss himself blindfolded. And so, Ryan, what'd you think of the ending of Monday Night Raw? Was it too long? Was it cinema? Well, was it perfection? Was it reflection? Was it...
I will acknowledge that I fixed it.
Yeah.
Graphics and Travis are in the recording this time. Yeah. I'm excited about that. Cool stuff.
It's about time.
I know. Jeez. It's a PSA.
Way to make me feel important.
PSA. If VMix, anyone that uses VMix, if it updates, yeah, you're probably just going to have to reset all your stuff. Just a little PSA.
You should talk to me because I just took an entire course on VMix because I had to for my job.
Oh, well, maybe you should come the fuck over here then.
Well, this is getting real.
Fair.
This is getting real. Fellas, you know we're on the air here. We don't want to...
I'm aware.
Okay. Just you don't want to think the family's fighting. Look, I know I'm nitpicking. I know. But I do. I just think it went a little too long.
Buster.
It's my opinion. Buster the Bruiser Dog. I mean, doesn't everybody love Buster the Bruiser Dog, for God's sake? Really? I mean, truly? Come on now. If you don't, there's something wrong with you. So, to me, it went on a little too long. Ryan says it was perfect. Ryan says he loved the ending role, and it was perfect. Why am I not surprised to feel that way, Ryan? Why am I not surprised to feel that way? I mean, the only thing that could have made it better for you was, I don't know, Roman Reigns popping up and, you know, dancing in the rain, probably. That probably would have did it for you. I don't understand. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm not saying it was bad at all, Ryan. I'm just saying a little too long, you know, because frankly, let's be honest, if Goldberg does the same segment the same way, you're like, man, can't believe that old guy beat up the top babyface. Can't believe that old guy beat up the top babyface with no pushback at all.
Because it's Dwayne. It's cinema. It's cinema. We have cinema with our Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Cinema. Cinema, 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 cinema. Cinema.
I'm just saying, you might say, well, Logan, who is any other old guy but Dwayne, you might complain. Well, at least I'll be man enough to say, you're right! If it was any other old guy but Dwayne, I'd probably be, hey, that's cool.
Yeah, I'd have to say you would.
Ryan says, 100%. Goldberg came in and took the title. The Rock is elevating Cody. Oh, yeah, boy, he's really elevating Cody thus far. Man, he doesn't need elevated from The Rock. He doesn't need elevated from The Rock at all.
Why not?
He's as hot as he's... I mean, he is hot as a pistol. He's white hot. He's nuclear hot. He is swimsuit model hot. He is the girl you've dreamed of getting hot. Like, how hot can one person be? It is... I mean, he's so hot, you might think he's AI. I'm not saying that it's not going to hurt Cody. And so you're right about that, Ryan. But does The Rock really add for Cody at this point? Because all The Rock has done is made everyone look like side chicks. Does he really add? Is he really elevating? Is beating The Rock a big elevation? Because Goldberg took the title, fine. But we don't talk about how he put over Drew McIntyre. We don't talk about how he put over Braun Strowman. We don't talk about how he put over Bobby Lashley. But all we talk about is he took the title twice. And he put over Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. I get it. Yes, Goldberg took the title. But no one... If elevation was everything that everyone claims it is for The Rock or any other person that they don't like, then how come nobody talks about it for the people they don't like at all? Because again, yes, Goldberg took the title. I get it. He beat Bray Wyatt. He beat Kevin Owens probably when he shouldn't have. Fine. Those are fair arguments, fair points. But the second half of his latest run, he put over Roman Reigns, put over everybody. I mean, like I said, he got the one win on Lashley at Saudi, but that was Lashley got the win at SummerSlam. So I just don't. That argument is not as fail-safe as anybody thinks it is. Ryan says it's the best story we have going. They're making him an insane underdog babyface on the level they made Daniel Bryan going into Mania 30. I disagree with that.
I do too.
And it's not even that they're not trying. It's that Daniel Bryan was so organic, and so you can't match that, right? You know, it's something smells delicious. What smells? Oh, that is picking up. Hey.
Probably chicken strips.
Well, that smells wonderful. I don't know what that is.
I'm going to assume it's chicken strips.
My fat kid senses are flat tingling. I mean, oh. So, again, I want to... Have we got Travis ready to go? Let's see.
He's here.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Because you said his message, right? Where he said he can't hear Travis? Yeah. All right. You fixed it? Good? Yeah. Okay. Cool. We'll try it.
We can hear him. It's on a recording. It's fine.
Yep. All right, Travis, talk to me. Why do you disagree with that statement from Ryan?
Well, for one thing, because, like you said, the Daniel Bryan thing was organic. The other reason is because
nobody's really keeping Cody from anything. Like, the reason the Daniel Bryan thing...
It's not a show for Rock haters. Jason just kissed his ass.
I really did. I really did.
It's not a show for the Rock haters.
I loved what I got from The Rock on Monday Night Raw. It was fantastic.
Nathan, I mean, that is... Ryan, that is ridiculous. That is... Look, sorry, Travis. Go ahead, buddy. I'm about to have a stroke.
No, you're good. You're good. Like you said, the Daniel Bryan thing was more organic. And in this story, Cody's not really being held down. He's getting beat up, but he's not being handed adversity that is really that strong. Like, yeah, finding the final boss and having to get through The Rock, who's the board member, whatever. But Daniel really had to fight his way to get his spot at WrestleMania. Cody doesn't have to do that because he won the Rumble. Cody has the title match. The only difference, or the only thing that's similar, is Cody's going to probably have to go through somewhat similar issue or similar adversity, because he's going to have bloodline rules where he has to probably take on the entire bloodline, but that's the only similarity. The path to get to Mania is nowhere near the same.
You're all wrong. You're all wrong. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Well, fuck you.
It's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes, sir!
Like, yeah, sure, underdog babyface Bryan Danielson, but like we all said, the story doesn't fit that. It's not like Cody came from
third. That's the point, though. That's
it's
what
not
we're
like
saying.
He came back from like the third match. Like, but if you compare it to Bryan Danielson, nothing matches really. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin in 99.
That's what I'm trying to say, though.
Well, wrong.
Well, let me tell you something.
Stone Cold Steve Austin in 99, damn it.
Well, let me tell you something, Ryan. Jason flat out took The Rock's caramel-looking bratwurst, and he took all of it and was like...
I wouldn't go that far, but Monday was fantastic.
You ever seen Madagascar where they're doing the toothbrush scene?
I defended The Rock a lot for Monday.
You know the toothbrush thing? You know the... Mm-hmm. That was Jason during the early part of the show for Dwayne. That was it right there.
Dude, he was great. He was great.
So trust me, it's not a show full of Rock haters. I am a Rock hater. I will always be a Rock hater. I stand there proudly like the few, and look, I'll get up with my walker and hate that guy. Between him and Triple H, I look forward to someday aligning my middle finger with both their faces. One day.
It's okay, Ryan. I accept your apology. I'll acknowledge him.
I won't acknowledge a damn thing, all right?
Cody's still winning, but I acknowledge my tribal
chief.
Are
we sure?
Yes.
I don't know anything.
Yes.
Look.
Yes.
Let me tell you something.
Yes.
Let me tell you something, people. I went through high school once, and I talked to a lot of girls before I got even date number one. I talked to even more girls before I got to showdown number one, to catch my drift. Until it were to take place with The Rock and Cody and Roman and everybody else and Paul Heyman and all that, until Cody does finish the story, I don't know shit about fuck.
You're my favorite too, Ryan. Love you, buddy. Look. I was in high school once too, and it was back in 1999, the first time this kind of storyline happened, and I'm here for it.
We get it.
I'm
you're
here
old.
For it.
We get it. You're old. What
yeah,
the hell?
You're right. I'm old, and I'm glad that I'm living through two fantastic golden ages of professional wrestling. Technically three, but I wasn't paying attention to it in the 80s. Been here for all of it.
All right.
It's great.
All right, Ryan. Okay. Okay. Fine.
I think Logan hates it here now. Cool. Brick Bronson Reed defeated Sami Zayn.
I forgot I had him over on this screen, and I just turned my head and just saw that look of
his face.
It's like, oh, okay. Whoops.
Is Chad Gable gonna be accompanying Sami Zayn to the ring at WrestleMania? Is he gonna train him?
Kind of like feels Mickey? Like it, doesn't it?
It kind of does.
I think this story is so weird. This Sami Zayn Chad Gable thing. What do you think of the Chad Gable thing, Ryan? Let us know. I'm sure you can stick Roman and Rock in there somehow. Let us know what you think of that. So, I think this is so weird, though, because, like, Sami Zayn in kayfabe, right, has had more success than Chad Gable.
Not lately.
But well, Sami Zayn, yes. Sami Zayn has had more success.
I hear you.
In the past, but
you're right about
I think this is how we finally break away from the underdog from the underground. We all love the underdog from the underground. Really. It's been fucking 50. You don't love Sami Zayn? That's egregious.
Not this illiterate.
It's been 15 years. And many championships held that he's held on to that moniker from the underdog to the underground. Chad Gable kind of put it plainly for us. You ain't beating Gunther waiting for a spot. He didn't beat Bronson Reed last night because he was waiting for his spot because he's the underdog for the underground. So I think Chad Gable and him are going to be a really good pairing and then have a nice little feud later. But I think it's just to get rid of that underdog still, like, because he's going to have to go with Gunther. I don't want to see Sami Zayn waiting for a spot against Gunther. Maybe it's because Chad Gable said it, but once Chad Gable said it, I was like, yeah, Chad's right, 100% right. Because when Gunther says it's over, it's over. In this entire Intercontinental Championship reign, when someone gets a little too close, all of a sudden, powerbomb, 1, 2, 3, I'm out. He just turns it on, finishes the match, I'm done playing with my food now, kind of a thing. So I don't want to, sure, Sami Zayn needs to get beat up, but he has to take it to Gunther. He can't just get beat up
but
and
he's
take
not,
it.
But he's not going to beat Gunther.
Probably not.
Travis, what say you? Does he beat Gunther? Official prediction next week, but right now, how do you feel?
I don't feel like he does. I really don't. Which is, I'm kind of bummed about because I feel like this is the perfect time for somebody to beat Gunther. But it also begs the question, they probably had something different planned for Gunther and certain things maybe kind of took that away from us.
Thy eyes have seen the glory of the conqueror, my lord. Sorry.
Why?
Boy, that song has a new meaning now.
It really does, doesn't it?
Oh, my goodness gracious me.
I didn't say it. I'm just saying it kind of has a...
Yeah.
Alluding to it.
Well, maybe we'll get it next year at WrestleMania 41, when it's heavily rumored to be in Minnesota, where a certain guy is from.
It's fine. A certain then, guy is probably. From. He is. You know,
as far as he when is. He lives in the
I know
US.
Kurt Hennig's from there.
Mr. Perfect.
He's from there.
But he's not alive anymore. So
I mean, that's fair, and but while, I was just saying.
And while this guy lives off the grid like he is dead and wants to be dead, he's not actually dead, we think.
I think we would have heard about it.
I don't know. He lives in a... He lives in Saskatchewan.
Somebody would have called. Oh. Grandma and grandpa of him and Sable's children would have been like, look, I haven't heard from my fucking grandkids in a week. There's something wrong. He doesn't like people, but he likes us. There's a problem here.
Joe Hershberger, I don't know if he likes his family. Does he like anybody?
Hi, Joe! Probably.
I guess he kind of likes
I would
him.
Assume that he'd like Sable. I don't know if Sable likes him right now.
He probably liked her at one point, but I mean, you know, familiarity breeds contempt.
I guess.
Maybe next year, because when he lives in the U.S., he does live in Minnesota, or Minnesota, as some say.
Minnesota.
Maybe next year we'll get Gunther versus... Guy.
Gunther versus Guy. just say Gorilla.
Gunther versus Anomaly Man Beast Gorilla Guy.
Because he's a gorilla.
Wait, Gorilla Monsoon?
Sure.
Yes. Coming soon to WWE World.
I think
Gorilla Monsoon, the hologram.
I think we're allowed to talk about him.
I mean, I'm allowed to talk about whoever I want. I mean,
that's fair. It's not like...
I don't know why we're doing this.
I don't
think
our dozen of fans will mind whoever the fuck we talk about, but it's fine.
Ouch, dozen.
Hey, I like it. Dozens. With an S.
Oh.
Dozens.
All right, next let's talk about Dirty Dom's disruption. A Dirty Dom guy, whatever. And by the way, they said he was going to eliminate said guy in the Royal Rumble.
What a segue.
Dirty Dom's disruption. That way, look, I am full of piss and vinegar today. Dirty Dom's disruption allowed Becky Lynch to take down Rhea Ripley. See what it did there?
I did see what you did there. I liked it.
She gave old Dirty Dom the right hand. The big right hook. Like Mike Tyson might give Jake Paul here soon. Or Jake Paul might give Mike Tyson. We'll see how the fight goes on Netflix.
Down goes Mysterio. Down goes Mysterio.
So he gave the big fight. He gave... So I thought this was an alright segment. I thought both made good points. Why isn't Rhea Ripley on Wrestling on Raw? Like, why is she suddenly kind of... I don't know, Roman Reigns status?
She's hurt.
Is she?
I believe I heard she was hurt.
You think so? Yeah. I didn't know that.
She's nursing an injury, that's why. Because, I mean, if you think about it, she was kind of wrestling a lot until, like, the chamber, and then she just stopped. Like I said, it's nothing serious because the match is still booked.
Nothing serial.
I mean, if there's a little, if you got a little bit of pain and you're not Seth Rollins, why not just take time off? I mean, because even Seth took some time off when... After he got some stuff straightened out storyline-wise. It was a lot. There's a lot of things happened.
Yeah, what'd you think of this segment, Travis?
I liked it. Like you said, both made some pretty good points. I liked the back and forth. I will say, I know it ended in physicality in the end. Calamity. But what I didn't particularly like is that instead of just straight-up slapping Rhea... When she mentioned her daughter's name, she started to cut a promo. I liked the promo. Like, she got passionate. She got passionate about it, which, if you're going to not slap somebody for saying that, you might as well just get pissed off at them, which she did. But I was surprised that that didn't warrant some sort of physical response. Because before, I swear, every other time somebody has mentioned her kid, she slapped the taste out of their mouth. And I don't know if that was a stylistic choice they were going for because it's Rhea and you want to make her look tough or like she's gotten in the head of Becky. But that was the only part that really kind of conflicted me a little bit. Everything else thought was great. Dirty Dom always being the proverbial punching bag when he's called upon is quality stuff. So, and I, you know, he took that punch like a champ, especially when I saw it slowed down on the Patestrator.
Yeah. When he's having stupid fun with it, it works. He can't do it like seriously. It doesn't translate to wrestling to do it serious. You got to have a good ass time with it. I do believe Becky was like, look, you get one. And that's why she didn't hit her. You get one. Everybody gets one.
It's like Spider-Man.
Everybody gets one.
So, McCarthy, what do you think of this segment before we
go? I thought it was great. I really liked the emotion from Becky. Like, I've always been a Becky fan since the moment I saw her on NXT. It's really great to see her now and diving into her emotions. And that's a fuck. Not only was it good that she tied into her emotions that her father never met her daughter, his granddaughter.
I did love that.
Dude, not only was it a good promo, what a fucking sales pitch for her book. I'm buying that book. I was going to buy it anyway, but now it's like, oh, I'm buying that so much faster. Because, like, what else did. What? Wait, what? That sucks. So, like, I thought it was great. We needed the emotion from Becky, and we needed, for whatever reason, Rhea and Becky, it has to feel personal. Maybe it's because they're so badass, but just for the title, probably wasn't doing it. Like, sure, Becky and Rhea, that's going to be a banger. But now that it's kind of personal, now everybody's kind of like, oh, yeah, this is all right. This might be really good.
Might be really good.
It's going to be a banger. It's going to be two nights of bangers. It's
going to be a flat humper. You all right over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wrong pipe.
Mr. Napper, I want to get your thoughts before we move on from Raw and start hitting the ropes. I want to get your thoughts.
We can't run the ropes before we talk about CM Punk and Seth Rollins.
That's literally what I was heading to. Thank you.
But you said you asked him about the Becky stuff, and then we'd go to run the ropes.
No, what I said was I can't. You cut me off.
I was correcting you
no.
Because you can't say we're going to talk to you about this and then go run the ropes.
This, I was going to put comma, meaning the CM Punk situation. He's already gave his thoughts on the Becky Lynch situation.
Okay.
Travis, what I'm trying to ask you is your thoughts on the CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre segment. Are you happy?
Yes, very much so.
I better know why that is.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
My thoughts on this entire segment. Beautiful, fantastic, little cringy because they probably said some things that probably were not cleared.
Good!
Right, so good. Exactly. I like that they left it open-ended. I really do. Because I thought for sure that he was about to come out and say, I'm about to be the host of WrestleMania. I love they left it open to interpretation. They left it open kind of to his discretion, the fans' discretion, and we still don't fully know what he's going to do. I like the idea of the commentary. I think you both kind of threw that out last time. I know we kind of kidded around with the special referee. I can't really see him doing that. I know that he could probably do it, but
he got down there and proved he could, Travis.
He did.
He just can't be fair and impartial with these two dipshits.
I also just probably don't really want to see him be physical if he's still dealing with that injury. I know referees don't usually get in trouble, but or don't get in harm's way sometimes. Sometimes they get in a lot of physical trouble. But I don't know. For his safety and everybody else's, let's maybe put a pin in the special referee, as fun as that would be. But I do love the commentary idea. Obviously, I initially thought he was going to be the host, so we'll see what they come up with. I think if he does both, that'd be even better. Or if they really want to screw with this match, but I kind of hope they don't, because that would just kind of kill the whole thing. Let's just do all three.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, fuck it.
Because think about it. Think about this. Think about this for a second. Why can't if he's good, we know that his mouth still works. He said to ask April if we were unsure.
He did. You could put like one of those headsets that stick in your ear on him.
Yeah.
And he can commentate and just go full board, like get distracted, hang out and commentate and stand in the corner, do the Shawn Michaels legs across thing, like the whole nine. Like he doesn't do shit. He just lets them beat each other up, but he's right there for it doing commentary with the ref shirt on, and he doesn't get involved until it's like the dude's lit. One of them is Seth, probably is literally down for 2 seconds, and then he's like, "All right, like how Shawn
Michaels,
I gotta go. Like, oh crap, I guess I should count this."
It's like a live interview during a football game.
Other than that, I don't want to see CM Punk in that ring.
They should give him special roles for every pay per view until he's healthy.
I agree, because a bored CM Punk is like a bored a lot of us. It's not good news. It's never good.
We're about to do this huge Backlash pay-per-view in what, France, I think?
Was it
France or Germany?
Well, Bash in Berlin is one, and I think they're going to France as well, so that might be WrestleMania. Is Money in the Bank in France?
So,
I'm pretty sure.
Are they going to put it on the Eiffel Tower?
So, like...
please?
Cinematic universe, damn it. And so, like, make him the host for one show. Make him a commentator for one show. Make him a special guest referee when he gets a little healthier. Just keep him relevant on TV, and those of us that really enjoy him get a chance to still see him. And if you paid your money to come see him at Raw, you still get that chance. And again, plus it's one day a week, right? So if he does a couple Raws, it's not like he's too busy, and he still gets to spend a lot of time with AJ and Larry, and that's very important to him. I don't see a downside of kind of doing what you did with John Cena this last run until he wrestled, which was they found him a whole lot of different ways to be out there without actually wrestling a match until it became time to wrestle solo. You know, because remember, John Cena was the host of Payback, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he was. And then, for fun, he was a backstage correspondent during a segment. He put a bow tie on and everything, by God.
He was having a great time.
I was wrong. It is not Money in the Bank. It is Backlash. It is in France. Money in the Bank is in Canada.
So we know Backlash in France is going to be a huge show. Make CM Punk the host of Backlash. Why not? I mean, you talk about Amadou Fromage. That's a cheese omelet.
Oh, is that what they call it there?
That's all I know.
I know fromage is cheese.
That's from Dexter's Laboratory, you know, your accent. Amadou Fromage.
I've watched the show so long. That was a classic.
Lastly, want to talk about Raw before we hit one more break. Ricochet defeated JD McDonagh, and it's time for me to ask an important question here. I asked it in chat and didn't get quite the response I was hoping for. I don't know. You all must have been playing with your action figures.
What did you ask?
I asked this question. Is it time to break up the Judgment Day? I want to ask that question. And so, because you were too busy playing with your action figures specifically, because Travis was nice, I'm going to let you go first on this one, McCarthy. Is it time to break up or revamp or revisit or facelift the Judgment Day? Are you tired of it? You understand what I'm getting at?
I understand what you're getting at.
Unpack the luggage. Let me know how you feel.
I'm really not tired of it yet. I like it the way it is. I don't think it's time to disband yet. I think especially because I want to see it, like, be real personal. I don't see it getting real personal before WrestleMania or really that much after. Maybe them losing the titles at WrestleMania can make Finn Balor and Damian Priest be mad at each other, but... I mean, does losing a ladder match for the championships when more than likely both of them are not going to be involved in the finish plate, does that really facilitate a breakup?
I don't mean... Let me be clear.
And I don't think JD McDonagh gets any TV time without this.
I don't mean is it time to do the angle. I mean, is it time to start working towards the breakup?
I don't think so. I think we need to see where they go with Damian Priest and the Money in the Bank. Okay. And see if he's going to stay a heel or turn face. I think the smart, because they're so in the middle, because people love Rhea Ripley. People really don't have a problem with Damian Priest. Like, he's kind of a fan favorite, low key. He still gets booed because he's doing his job, but he's not Dom level heat. Like, a lot of them get booed just by association with Dom. And vice versa, it doesn't hurt when Finn Balor talks a little bit of shit and he's with Dom. Like, that helps too. But I think we need to see how the crowd reacts to Damian Priest cashing in and winning, hopefully winning some world championship with the Money in the Bank. And go from there. Because this has the chance to be Edge-like when he did it first. If they do it at the right time and the crowd is fucking pissed, you can really launch Judgment Day into the stratosphere. Because I think also what's been hurting Judgment Day is that... And when was the last time they defended the title? There's two titles. There's so many tag teams. For example, they need to split the titles. They need to have the double, one member of one team and the other member of the other team pull down separate titles and fall. Like, that's the only way you can do this, because they're having double qualifiers. Like, didn't somebody have to win two matches on the SmackDown side to get into this tournament? And Raw is just like, win and you're in. So there's already an imbalance in tag teams for one belt that's on Raw all the time and sometimes shows up on SmackDown. You need to split them up again. There's no balance anymore.
Well, frankly, it also hurts in my opinion, and then I'm going to get to Travis. It hurts in my opinion, the tag division is so weak right now. Tag division is weak.
There's so many teams to pull, and I mean, you know what? I don't understand.
None of them feel special. None of them feel important.
No, but I think if you get behind them and put in the effort, they can be.
Well, you're not wrong, but the problem is, I feel like we're doing a lot of stops and starts with a lot of tag teams. Like, where is this DIY thing going? Like, they're either a legitimate tag team or they're not.
Pulling down the Raw championships at WrestleMania.
Like, I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't want to phrase this. There's no commitment to any other tag team besides the Judgment Day. I guess you could argue New Day, but that's because they have such built-in equity from previous eras. There's just no commitment to any other tag team but those two. And so everything else feels unlikely. I mean, DIY is kind of interesting. They've had some fun with Truth. I mean, they look like Adderall with legs, but whatever.
It's fine. Look, I think that's why you don't separate the Judgment Day and you split the take the titles from them and split them instead. Because I think it would be more important if those titles were split. The teams would feel more important because they don't have anything to fight for. Like, SmackDown's over here on an island. They're never here. They hold both belts, but they're never on SmackDown. How am I supposed to earn a shot? So now you got to get in this tournament, and you got to win twice just to get into the damn thing. It's like, it's just, there's no balance. Let's start with a little bit of get a title off and see if that helps. Like, I agree, because no one feels important. But I think, like, DIY is, I think, further ahead with the fans on their own, like, talent and skill alone right now than when they first reformed.
Probably.
So it's like they have to take, kind of like how AEW needs to, you know, they're showing a little bit more focus on the women's division, but there's always work to be done. WWE is the same thing with tag teams right now. There's more work to be done.
In short, here's what I think needs to happen. I do think it's time to freshen up the Judgment Day. How and why is above my pay grade. Secondly, with the tag division, period, it's time to quit pussyfooting with these tag teams. Start committing a little bit. We got 5 hours of television, 7 if you count NXT. Now we got a brand new show called Speed. We're going to touch on in a bit. Just quit pussyfooting and put the kind of commitment you've put into to a lesser extent now the United States Championship, and certainly the Intercontinental Championship, and put it in the tag division. Travis, I want to get your thoughts before we go to break and then run the ropes. What do you do with the Judgment Day? Are you fine with how they are? And then number two, what are your thoughts on the tag division? And if it's a problem, how do you fix it?
I'll answer the last one first. How do you fix it? You do what Jason said. You split up the tag titles and do what they did with the women's titles and the men's titles and splitting them up and having titles on both shows. I don't think the Judgment Day should break up. I do think, however, it is okay to maybe reshuffle it a little bit. They've kind of teased some other members into the Judgment Day. I think it's okay if you maybe kick a member out or two. I think if you get rid of Priest or Finn, I think that'll be fine. I think if they replace them possibly with a guy like Andrade or somebody else, that would be okay in the long run. It would really kind of just depend on the dynamic. But I think getting rid of them entirely, like Jason said, it just would be too much of a bad thing for the tag division in total. I don't think the tag division's in a horrible spot. They have a lot of tag matches generally on the show. They do a lot of things with the tag teams. They just haven't really put tag teams in any meaningful storylines that have helped specifically the tag teams. Tag teams in both shows have been involved in storylines, but it's mostly been storylines between one and two wrestlers that aren't even really in the tag teams. Take, for example, Alpha Academy and some of the things they've been involved with, and Street Profits and the things they've been involved with, and this whole thing with the Final Testament. Like, the tag teams are there. They have great tag teams. They've just been caught up in storylines that aren't really pushing the tag teams towards a title opportunity. They've kind of just been fighting with each other while they try to figure out what the tag team title picture looks like. I think it'll fix itself after Mania, but I think they've got to get through Mania first, and then I think they're going to fix it. But I've thought that before with other titles, and I've been wrong, so we'll see.
Yes, we shall see indeed. We shall see indeed. Remember, wrestling is this magical thing where even after WrestleMania, our Super Bowl in this industry, we keep right on going. We'll be here with you for the summertime blues. We guarantee it. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to take our next break. And when we come back, we're going to run those ropes. We've got a lot to touch on. We're going to talk about Tony Khan's savage tweet. Eric Bischoff has responded. He's already said that he's not stopping 83 weeks. So I guess that's not going to sunset there. We're going to talk Stone Cold at Mania. We're going to talk Hulk Hogan at Mania, maybe. We're going to talk Jake Roberts resigning with AEW. And we're going to talk about the new COO for AEW as well. And then, interesting numbers when it comes to Raw. And then finally, the WWE's got a new show premiering on X April 3rd. We're going to talk about that as well. So a lot to unpack when we run the ropes. Don't move a move. This is To the Turnbuckle, presented by our friend at Dubby and a Snapmare and Bruiser Nation production. We'll be right back.
Sorry. Because I got to... Travis echoes if I'm not, like, over here paying attention to him talking, so I got to turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Who matches up for me?
No, I expected you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling? Yeah. Mr. Samoa Joe?
Put the jack in jackassery.
Shopping cart down a hill.
I'll do it.
I see it
I'll
now.
Do it for free.
I see it now. I certainly hope so, because I don't have the money to pay you for it.
Well, I mean, you could slide me a buck.
I could.
You cheap bastard.
Wow.
It's like SpongeBob meets Mr. Krabs over here.
Get back and forth places.
I have a disability, I would hope. Are you my friend or aren't you?
I don't want to ignore our dozen of fans. That would be terrible.
Our dozen of fans. I like it. We are humble. It means but let's make no worries
exactly
for
the rest
of your days.
Burner barrel.
It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.
Hey, what's up, guys? Superman Onyx here. WrestleFit, one of the newest, baddest workouts out there right now. Now, yes, the word wrestling is in it, but you won't be wrestling. You won't be doing the headlocks or the slams or the spine busters that I do. Yeah, but what you will be doing is everything that we do to get ready to get in the ring, from kettlebell swings to slam balls to flipping tires to hitting tires to doing Olympic weightlifting movements. Guys, you don't want to miss out on this. WrestleFit is the way to go. Gives you a little bit of everything. I hope to see you soon.
Do you have kids? Looking for a fun, inviting way to wear them out and help them stay healthy and fit? Then look no further, my friends. WrestleFit Junior is exactly what you're looking for. Certified personal trainer, and pro wrestler Superman Onyx will treat your mini you to a fitness program like no other. With exercises like running the ropes to tire flips and combining healthy eating habits and personal accountability, your child will earn the conditioning of a pro wrestler without the bumps. Stop by the Now Training Center at 625 Eastgate Parkway, Blacklick, Ohio 43004, or visit WrestleFitJr.com on Facebook for class schedules and book an appointment today.
I'm losing track of the knobs here, sorry. Because I gotta, Travis echoes if I'm not like over here paying attention to him talking, so I gotta turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Who matches up in front of you?
No, I expect you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling? Mr. Samoa Joe?
Stop talking to me a second.